According to a Pew Trust study in 2008, 1 in 40 adults in America is under correctional control. This compares in 1982 to a figure of 1 in 124 adults. And according to an article by Phil Gaspar in April of 2007, the total U.S. prison budget increased from $9 billion in 1980 to $61 billion by 2003. He goes on to say that the United States imprisons its population at a rate of over 6 times higher than the rest of the world. The unprecedented rise in prison populations in America is attributed by Timothy Dempsey of Chattanooga Endeavors, Incorporated, to the tough-on-crime policies implemented in the 1980s by then-President Ronald Reagan. According to the website usa-presidents.info/Reagan, Reagan's policies in the war on drugs emphasized imprisonment for drug offenders while cutting funding for addiction treatment. This resulted in a dramatic increase in the USA's prison population. And DefendingJustice.org says the tough-on-crime movement refers to a set of policies that emphasize punishment as a primary and often sole response to crime. Mandatory sentencing, three strikes, truth in sentencing, quality of life policing, zero tolerance, and various other proposals that result in longer and harsher penalties and the elimination of rehabilitation and other programs are all contemporary examples of tough-on-crime policies. According to Timothy Dempsey, last year Tennessee prisons released over 15,000 inmates. Within 36 months, about 7,000 will be reincarcerated. And while they were in the community, few were able to find or hold a job to make a living. Chattanooga Endeavors calls this a vicious cycle that costs taxpayers $21,500 per inmate per year, totaling $150 million a year just to manage repeat offenders. CEI believes that prison is an important partner in the criminal justice system, yet it's an expensive and often ineffective method of correcting the behaviors that land people behind bars. CEI's mission is to take former offenders and provide them the training and assistance they need to return to the workforce and rebuild their lives.
We have 5% of the global population in the United States and 25% of the world's prisoners. 1 in 10, it's really more like 1 in 9 adults have had a felony conviction. So almost 10% of the adult population in the United States have had a felony conviction and are going to live with the consequences of that for the rest of their life, so that it becomes more difficult for them to find a job, becomes more difficult for them to get affordable insurance, to find property they can rent, to go into business opportunities and so forth. And so it'll affect them for the rest of their life. And the only solution to this, I think, in our society is forgiveness. And so somebody's got to step up and give a legitimate second chance. And the only way that you can do that is by forgiving somebody. Just let bygones be bygones. Recognize the fact that somebody has paid their debt and that they're trying to seriously to get on with their life, and give them a legitimate second chance. That'll keep them from going back. But what we experience on a day-to-day basis is that people that are trying sincerely to regain some part of their life back is that they come home and they get one closed door after another. And that frustration of being turned away time and time and time again causes them to go back to the only lifestyle that they know.
Dempsey asserts that in prisons, inmates are taught to distrust everyone. And he says that doesn't work in society, where relationships are built on trust. So what is the key to reducing recidivism rates, I ask him.
One visit, just one visit during the last month of incarceration reduces your failure rate by about 4%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but then they broke it down. One visit per quarter during the last 12 months brought it down over 12%, and one visit a month brought it down by over 30%. Now, that's really significant, and that's just a visit. And you're talking about, okay, well, how do we actually solve the problem? That's how you solve the problem. You know, the expansion, this huge explosion in the population behind prison gates is directly related to our societal collective intolerance. We lock them up. We separate them from their children. We eliminate a wage earner and their families. We make their family members victims of the welfare system, maybe generationally. When they come home, we've set them up for failure again and again and again. So just locking somebody up is not just locking somebody up. We bring a host of problems into their life as soon as somebody goes to prison. And it is poor people that are in jail. It is not only poor people, but it is predominantly poor people that are in jail. It's not the case that only poor people commit crimes. It's just that where representation is lacking in the court system, they're more likely to get a prison sentence than they are to get probation or some form of community supervision. But when you start to break down the other demographics, it is poor black young men. They're the ones that are disproportionately affected by the criminal justice system. And so that disparity says something. And you don't want to say, okay, the system is racist. But I guess what you can say is that the system adversely affects young black men, which is as plain as day.
Dempsey talks about the Stevens Table program, begun by CEI, to sponsor churches to become a support system for participants all the way through their prison term.
And so what we're doing is we're interfacing with the Department of Corrections and the Board of Paroles and Probations, and we're identifying the people as they're going off. And then what they're doing is they're writing letters and doing visits and inviting them to church if they want to come to church there, and connecting them with resources, helping them to stay focused on the fact that since there was a reason for them to go to prison, there is something for them to address while they're incarcerated, so that as they address that, they become less likely to reoffend when they come home, and so that they're making that preparation process. And when they get close to the gate, and they start to collect resources for them in the community, so that if they happen need to, in the need of therapy when they come home, they'll have access to that. If they are in need of shelter when they come home, they can work on that. Churches have a wide reach for employers as well. A lot of churches connected to a lot of businesses through their membership, and so they can reach to their membership to see if there are jobs that are available and so forth, so that they become that immediate resource for them.
The annual fundraiser for Chattanooga Endeavors is the Bella Sara Wine Tasting, which takes place on June 5th in Renaissance Park from 6 to 10 p.m. We'll talk more with Dempsey about Chattanooga Endeavors and the organization's work with the prison population in Tennessee. For Running About, I'm Onessa Guilfoyle.